As we are entering, have entered a new year, and we're taking the times, 1, 2, 3, today, next week maybe, looking at the things that need to be of help to us. Because we tend to lose, you'll have to evaluate yourself. How fresh are you? Fruitful are you? How much have you lost? The zest, the zeal, just getting out of bed, coming to church, listening, praying, exercising, it sort of goes down, doesn't it? Just goes down and down and down, and we do it, but it isn't anything like it should be, could be. We lose it. We just lose it. So with a hope that somehow we might be a pain in the neck to you and help you. Now, in the light of that, you would understand if you were ever have flown in an aeroplane, and you're flying up there, and you're driving here. If you're flying up there at, say, 560 miles an hour, and you're up there and traveling in the atmosphere, are you aware that you're going 560 miles an hour? No. When you travel down a smooth highway, when you go down the smooth highway and you're doing 60 miles an hour, do you know you're going 60 miles an hour? You would if you stopped, quick, hit a tree, you would. But you don't know you're going that. You're doing it, but you don't know it. Now, and here you are on planet Earth, and in the process of that, we are traveling, our planet is traveling, at 19 miles per second. 19 miles every second, and 1,140 miles per every minute, or 68,400 miles an hour. 68,400 miles in an hour. Do you realize that? As you orbit, remember now we're headed, here's the orbit, oval like an egg. And here we are, here was summer, and we're headed up here to winter right now. We're right up here now, on the end of the egg. We're right up there, at 68,400 miles an hour. And in the process, we're spinning. And we're spinning at 1,037 miles an hour. Like this, spinning 68,400 this way, spinning 1,037 miles this way. Now, are you aware of that? Do you try to hang on everything you can? Point. You're totally unaware of all of that. And yet by faith, you accept it, and you are not fighting it, you enjoy it. You laid down in bed, never worried about the bed would take off into space. By faith. It's all there. You can't erase it. What I just told you is true. But we don't know it. By faith, we understand it is existent. We don't control it. It's total out of our reach and our ability to do anything about. In fact, if any of it stopped, we're in trouble. So now, having said that little bit, in the light of that, over, if you would please, in your Bible, to Deuteronomy, where we mentioned Deuteronomy, if I can, in chapter 32, what did I say, 32? Chapter 32, picking up, please, in verse 20. God speaking to Israel, Moses speaking to Israel before they crossed the Jordan. And he said, I will hide my face, God said, I will hide my face from them. I will see what their end shall be. For, why the concern? For they are a very froward, very, very crooked people. A froward generation. Children in whom is no faith. There is no faithfulness. There is no faith in them. They have no heart, we know from 5 and 29, and they have no faith. Faith is where you trust in, rely upon, confident in, something or someone else outside of yourself. Faith leaves you out of the picture and includes somebody or something else that you're trusting in. That's why God says, that's why faith is the issue. Because it has nothing to do with a person's background, IQ, anything about a person. It has to do, any person exercises faith. Because faith is in all 7 zillion, all 7 million, yeah, billion people can go. And right now, exercise faith in the sun, in the earth spinning. And they do it. And we all, no one is hindered by background, by anything. Everyone is able to do it because it's outside of us and apart from us, faith. God said, without faith it's impossible to please me. Now, you have to reach outside. So it's nothing of you and nothing of me, everything of God. So now, in Israel, you have no heart and you have no faith. And over, if I slide over to verse 28, for they are a nation void of counsel, neither is there any understanding in them. Oh, that they were wise, that they understood this, that they would consider their latter end. But they aren't. They aren't paying attention at all. They just didn't have any faith. And so therefore, they're going to proceed, but they aren't enjoying, underlined, they aren't enjoying the wonderful presence and person of God. God's there and moving them, shepherds, the shepherd is shepherding the sheep. But they aren't really, really, even when the River Jordan is opened up, like the Red Sea, and wow. But they just don't enjoy as a way of life God's wonderful person and presence. They have no faith. And without faith, it's impossible to please me. Okay, now, over if you would please, in your Bible, over to the Gospel of Luke. The Gospel of Luke in chapter 5. And we'll seek to exercise how it works, this business of faith. And remember, reminding ourselves, remember the men are all concerned about their brother, a person who is handicapped, has a problem, and the house is so full of people, Jesus is speaking to them. And so they go up because he has the palsy and they want him to be healed and they know the Lord can heal him. And so therefore they go up, they take the man up on the roof, cut a hole in the, open the roof up, and they lower him down. They lower the man down in front of that room, rooms full of people. Now, in the light of that, verse 20. I'll read verse to get a little context. Verse 19. And when they could not find in what way they might bring him in because of the multitude, they went up upon the housetop and let him down through the tiling with his couch into the midst before Jesus. So they're lowering him down on the stretcher. Verse 20. And when he saw their faith, he said unto them, Man, thy sins are forgiven thee. Now, what did they do? They believed that that man being lowered down, that the Lord, they went to extreme measures, comparatively, to get that man to the Lord, because they believed he could heal them. And he did. And in the process, he said, "Thy sins be forgiven." Verse 21. And the scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, "Who is this that speaketh blasphemies? Who can forgive sin but God alone?" And that's what he was doing. God was forgiving sin, the Lord Jesus Christ, the living and only God. And he was forgiving sin. And he healed them. Wow. Over to chapter 7. And by faith, that's what they did. They believed God. In chapter 7, picking up, please, remember now, here's the centurion, and the centurion sends to his servants, send him to the Jews to get the Lord. He was very kind to the Jewish people, building their synagogue and stuff, verse 5. And in the process, they sent him, because his servant was sick. Verse 6. Then Jesus went with them, and when he was now not far from the house, the centurion sent friends to him, saying unto him, "Lord, trouble not thyself, for I am not worthy that thou should enter into my house. Wherefore, neither thought I myself worthy to come unto thee, but say a word, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man," the centurion had authority, "I am a man set under authority. I am a man set under authority, having under me soldiers. And I say to the one, 'Go,' and he goeth; to the other, 'Come,' and he cometh; and to my servant, 'Do this,' and do it, and he doeth it." I have authority," said the centurion. "Now you don't have to come, Lord. I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy of you. I have authority. And I recognize you have authority. You have authority." Wow. Now, verse 8. "For I also am a man set under..." Now, verse 9. "When Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him and turned him about and said unto him," the people that followed him, "I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel." Here is a man, like, here's all the Israelites, and here's a man that recognizes what I can do and recognizes where I came from. He had authority from Rome. The Lord had authority from God, and he recognized it. He said, "Wow, wow. You understand who I am?" "Mm-hmm, I do." "Without faith it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is." Do you believe that he is? The centurion believed he was. Wow. Now, sliding over, if you would, to chapter 8. Luke chapter 8. And you would recall in Luke chapter 8, picking up if I can. Remember now, I'll give you a little background again. Verse 23. "And as they sailed, he fell asleep in the back of the ship. And there came down a storm of wind on the lake." Remember the mountain up there and Sea of Galilee. And when the wind comes down, rolls down like a roller coaster, down that mountains, rolls down the mountains, and that rolling down the mountain, that wind hits like glaciers, big pieces of glacier break off and fall into the water and that's where they make tidal waves even. Wow. That wind hits the water and the storm, what a storm. Now, and verse 23, the end, "And they were filled with water and were in jeopardy." So you know it wasn't a normal storm when the ship is filled with water and they were in great danger. "And they came to him and woke him up, saying, 'Master, we perish.' And then he arose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, and they ceased, and there was a calm. Now, and he said unto them, 'Where is your faith?' And they, being afraid, wondered, saying one to another, "What manner of man is this, that for he commanded even the winds and the water, and they obey him?" Now, Jesus said, "The centurion's ahead of you, because he understands who I am." You guys haven't got the picture yet, have you? So I could have been asleep in the boat. You didn't need to worry about a thing. If you never woke me up, if you never said, "Help," I was there anyway. You didn't have to say help. You didn't have to call 911. I was there. Wow. You know, verse 25, where is your faith? Where is your faith? That was the trouble. Now, in the light of that, chapter 9. In chapter 9, picking up, please. Remember the demonic child, etc., father, etc. Verse 38, "And behold, a man of the company cried out, saying, Master, I beseech you, look upon my son, for he is mine only child. And lo, a spirit taketh him, and he suddenly crieth out, and he reareth him up, that he foameth again, and bruiseth him heartily, departeth from him. And I besought thy disciples to cast him out, but they could not. And Jesus answering said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you and suffer you? Bring me the son. So if it isn't one thing, it's another. You're always, always busy trying to solve everything in life, and you needed to have faith. If you had faith, it'd be different. But the whole generation, everyone's got problems, and they aren't looking to God properly. That's faith. Faith means you're going to look to somebody. Is there a Savior? Is there an answer? The public's coming and going, wars, rumors of wars, all over the globe, all kinds of stuff, and running for this and running for that. But where's your faith? They don't have exercise faith. They don't exercise it. O faithless and perverse generation. Now, verse 44. Let these sayings sink down into your ears, for the Son of Man shall be delivered into the hands of men. Now, if you need to understand, it's all going to cost something, and you're looking to me, you're going to have to trust me. I'm going to go to the cross. You aren't going to like that. You aren't even going to understand it. Not until afterwards. But I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. You need to have faith. Now, they understood that. Chapter 17. And you'd recall, if I can, chapter 17, picking up, please. If I can, verse 17:3. Take heed to yourselves. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. If he repent, forgive him. And if he trespass against thee seven times a day turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. Verse 5. And the apostle said unto him, Lord, increase our faith. We have to have that kind of relationship that all the earthly stuff is only earthly, and we're to operate in the light of the heavenly. We're to operate in the light of Calvary's cross. We're to operate in the light of who you are. Not in the light of who we are, in the who you are, God. So now, and so increase our faith, God. Increase it so we can be able to forgive. God, increase it. Ah, and verse 6. And the Lord said, if you had faith, as a grain of mustard seed, you might say unto the sycamine tree, be thou plucked up by the root, and thou be planted in the sea, and it should obey thee. You had just a seed, mustard seed, smallest of seeds. You lose it pretty easy in your palm of your hand. Wow. Disappears. If you just had faith, a grain of mustard seed. Well, I need to have great faith. No, you need to exercise faith. Whether you're traveling at 558 miles an hour or something around the world or not, in the airplane, I should say, around the world, Whether you're not, whether you feel it or not, you have to exercise faith. That's what you have to do. But you do have faith. You do. You use it all the time. You just aren't using it rightly to the most advantage with me. So now, in the light of that, chapter 18. Chapter 18. And picking up, please, remember the parable, the illustration. Verse 6, and the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith, and shall give, and shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he hear, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith, in this case the faith, the body of truth, to be believed on the earth? Question, rhetorical question. Well, no. Israel, are you going to have faith when you're going to get a little bit, but you aren't going to have much? No faith crossing the Jordan. You should have. It's exciting, but not too exciting, as we've been studying in Joshua 7, because it doesn't take long for you to be defeated, does it? Wow. So now, God, here we are, and you are going to take your word, and your word is going to be absent, not going to be found among us. When I come, when I'm going to find the body of truth, are you believing what I told you? And the answer, no. No, you aren't believing what I told you. You aren't believing it. No. Oh, faithless generation. Increase our faith. Increase our faith. Over to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews in chapter 4. God, we're just seeking to make sure that we're lined up. We want to learn from Israel. We want to learn. We don't want to proceed forward as they would across the Jordan, as we do in the coming year. We can say, well, we're going to have faith. Well, you need to have faith. And as we shared in the Sunday school and that, you need to be eson. Anyway, I can't do all that because I get sidetracked. Now, Hebrews chapter 4, and in verse 1. Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should see and become short of it. So the problem is, could we miss out? Could we go? We haven't gone far enough. You have to go far enough. You know, the Lord is he's the door. He's the door to the sheep, for the sheep to enter the pasture. But you got to go through the door. What happens if you don't go through the door? You don't have any of the benefits. The pasture, what good's a pasture on the other side of the door? You didn't go through. So now, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 2. For unto us was the gospel, the good news preached, as well as unto them. They and us, they had it, we had it, unto them. But the word preached did not profit them. The problem was not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. So God said something, and you're supposed to believe it. We just read in Luke 18:8, when I come, will I find people believing? No. I said things, they don't believe me. They don't believe what I said. They don't believe it works. They don't believe. Wow. That's all. Is it easy not to believe? Absolutely. We get caught up in our humanness, etc. Now, so therefore, the good news, how are we going to enjoy the gospel? Verse 2, the good news, by faith. But what happens if we don't exercise faith? Then all the words you read in the Bible, you can read the Bible for 7,000 years. You can memorize the Bible. You can even quote the Bible when you're all done. When you're all done. So what? What did you do? What have you got? Zero. You got to believe. One thing believed properly is worth 10 that you've memorized that you don't do anything with. Wow. So God, one little grain of mustard seed. One thing. Believe. Wow. Well, no, we can't believe God. The devil doesn't want us to believe. The world doesn't want us to believe. System. They don't want us to believe. And more than light, we have friends that so-called believers, and they really don't believe, so they're telling us in by act and by behavior that we don't need to believe because they don't believe. They don't believe. They don't believe. The believers don't believe, so why do I need to believe? You see. Wow. So now, here we are looking, and it had to be mixed with faith in them that heard it. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, Romans 10, etc. Now, over if you would, Hebrews 11. Hebrews chapter 11. And picking up, if I can, in verse 6, we've been saying it, I'm just going to read it. Hebrews 11:6, but without faith, it's impossible. Impossible. What does impossible mean? It means impossible. Not going to happen. To please him. You can't please him. But I did this and I did that. Without faith, you can't please him. But, you can't please him. You can't please him without faith. Faith honors who he is. You must believe that he is. Thus, verse 6, but without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. God, it pays off to believe God is God. No question. And you need to believe. But I don't believe. I don't want to believe. Well, then you won't have anything. You can't please God. Over, if you would, chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. And you will know, please, in Hebrews chapter 10, picking up if I can, verse 38. Now the just, the righteous, the believing believers, shall live by faith. If any man draw back, don't go backwards, you have to go forwards, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them that draw back unto perdition and destruction, judgment, but we are them that believe to the saving of our soul. God, I may goof, I may louse up my life in a thousand ways, but I don't want to go back. No, I don't want to, because you have no pleasure in that, no. And the just shall live by faith. And it isn't because they're good guys or bad guys or girls. It's because you're going to have believe God and God's word. And when you believe God and his word, then all these things will happen. And they just work themselves out in a most wonderful way. And while you're here on this, over to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. What are we going to do? We need to know, as we shared many times, over and over again to ourselves, that our faithfulness is based on the fact of God's faithfulness. And we couldn't possibly be faithful if God wasn't. And God, it's in because God is God, then, and he is who he is, then we trust him. That's what we do. And we do it because he is who he is. He isn't less than who he is. He isn't other than who he is. So God, we're looking to you in the light of who you are, in your faithfulness, so that we can say, 1 Corinthians 10 and 13. There hath no temptation, putting to the test, to the proof, taken you, no trial, trouble, whatever it is, but such as is common to man. Everyone else has the same things. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted, tested, proved, above that you're able, but will with the temptation, trial, and test make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. And so I want you to know, God said, I'm faithful. And you're not gonna, I'm not gonna give you more than you can handle. And if I give it to you, then you can handle it. How's that? If it falls in your lap, then you can handle it. What am I need to do to handle it? I need to have faith. Faith in God, who is faithful. And when I have faith in God, who's faithful, then I'm able to handle whatever it is in my lap. God. It wouldn't be in my lap if I couldn't handle it, if it wasn't for some good purpose. So God, I want to exercise that wonderful purpose in a most wonderful way. And God, in the process, over to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy, and in chapter 2. And as you know, just you'll pick it up, the, if I can, verse 11. 2 Timothy 2:11. It is the faithful saying, it is a verse 11, chapter 2. It's a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful, present tense, he's always faithful. He cannot deny himself. God, you can't be less than who you are. So therefore, we ought to have faith in you, for without it, it's impossible to please you. For you we must believe that you are God, no less than always who you are. So we don't want to subtract from you and reduce you from God's size, smaller and smaller, to fit into our little thinking. We don't want that to happen. So God, we're looking to you to deal with our heads and our hearts. Now, that's in faith. So God, we need to have faith. And we need to exercise it. And we need to do it. And if you don't do it, it won't work. Nothing works. You can do all the stuff you want to do. You can sing and preach and teach and be good, do all kinds of stuff. It won't do any good. God said you have to include me so that I'm involved. By that I mean your relationship to me, the vine and the branch. If you abide in me and I abide in you, you can do whatever. Why? Because I'm the creator, and I made you, designed you for my honor and glory. And by the way, John 15:5, without me, you can do what? Nothing. Can't do anything. So I took care of that one. You can't please me without faith. And without me, you can't do it. So I got to believe in you. I got to have faith. Have faith in God. That's right. It was simple, but we don't do it. And so when we don't do it, we tend to get used to our habits, our ways. We get used to routines, coming and going. We do them, and we lose it. Pretty soon our whole thing is leveled. Think of where you might have been once and where you are now, spiritually, in freshness, in the excitement of just being alive. I don't know. You'll have to weigh that out. Wow. That's a wonderful thing. But we lose it. We lose it. We lose it. Everything we get, everything's get loose. And that's why we just did in Sunday school, everything becomes new. And if it doesn't become new, it becomes old. You got a brand new car, and you're excited, and then a couple of weeks go by or so, months, and it's an old car. And where did all the excitement go? See? You can do that with eating. You just had a wonderful meal and a wonderful meal. You're full and you're all done. It's all gone. Everything disappears. It's only for a little bit. Beautiful scenery, wonderful ocean. But it's just old hat. Another day. Nothing. We don't see it anymore. We lose the freshness. Except when I include God, who without me, he said, you can do nothing, and you understand that I am who I am, then I make everything new. And everything you do, eating and drinking, you do to my honor and glory, and all of a sudden, the glass of water isn't just water, it's another time, another opportunity to take the ordinary in an extraordinary way. With thanksgiving, I'm new. New, brand new. And if I don't have that, then I lose it. And we get dull, dull, dull. I watch you coming, going. It's, you know. That, I said, what happened to him? I can't do anything about it. I can't do it. I just have to work on my own heart. I have to overcome your dullness so that I don't get dull. How's that? I have to overcome what you're doing. Otherwise, I'm going to get like that. Wow. Because you have a little fire, a little something. Is that all right? I don't know. Seems like it should be there. And we lose it. That's a normal thing. I got married. You know, I did get married. One day, 100 years ago. And when I got married, probably it was an exciting time. Jeanette was exciting. I don't know. And now I've been married a few years. And you know what? It's old hat. Jeanette's getting older. I look at a picture when she was 20. I look at it now. What happened? I look at my picture. I looked at it up in the bureau up there in my uniform, sailor uniform and all of that. I said, who's that guy? I had to look at the picture. I said, who is that? Wow. What happened to him? You see. Wow. That's the way we are. It gets old. We lose it. Instead of the freshness. Now, over in the light of that, to Deuteronomy. Oh, Deuteronomy, if you would, in chapter 4. Deuteronomy chapter 4. And if you're trying to solve things in your life and look at the future. Now, if you're trying to look to the future, would you tell me what, in the light of our day, in the light of the global, international setting, in every way, economy, politic, military, religious, all of it there, if you look at that, would you tell me what you're going to see as you look that has much going for it? We aren't going to find a lot there. We aren't going to find it there. So God, as we're looking there, we need to understand that as I look out, the world isn't getting any better. In fact, nothing's getting better, as we said earlier. Everything's getting older. So therefore, God, here we are looking. And God, we need to understand that so that we don't get hung up in trying to anticipate and rationalize, maneuvering, manipulating, managing our thought so that we can come up with some hope that tomorrow this will happen and that will. And then we're looking for something this way. And when we do that, it's only going to be the same tomorrow. A little different. Everything's the same. Only it's going downhill. So, God, I want to see that as I proceed forward now. And I want to see where it is. It didn't go anywhere. It's not going to get any easier or any better. So now, God, I need to include you so that I can have the benefit of the freshness of the life. You have come that you might, we did in John 10, have life and have it more abundantly. That's what it's all about. A relationship to you that allows us to live in these days, any days, successfully, without falling apart, without losing it. So now, Deuteronomy chapter 4, keeping in mind, God, we have to have faith. But when we have faith, we're going to have that because we have a healthy fear. Fear. We have to have fear. Faith produces fear. Fear produces faith. Deuteronomy chapter 4, picking up please, in verse 10. Especially the day that thou stoodest before the Lord thy God in Horeb, Mount Sinai, when the Lord said unto me, gather me the people together, and I will make them hear my words, that they may learn to fear me all the days. You learn to fear God. You learn to love. Do you understand that? You learn love. You learn fear. You learn it. You don't get it for nothing. You learn it. My dog loves me. No, your dog doesn't love you. And that's no offense. I'm not after the dog. I'm just telling you, dogs don't love. You have to be human to love. Now, so God, to hear, may learn to fear me all their days, that they may live upon the earth, and that they may teach their children. Teach their children what? Fear. Chapter 13. And if I can, picking up just the movement again, just to get the flavor of it. Chapter 13. Oh, picking up, please, in verse 11. And all Israel shall hear and fear, and shall do no more any such wickedness as this is among you. So you're going to fear. You're going to have a healthy, holy, happy, awesome respect for God. God. Now, you're going to answer. You can play games, and we can come and go and do whatever we want. Accountable, responsible, and all those words. But when it comes, God, we aren't going to be able to walk away from you. It is appointed unto men once to die, and then we're going to stand before you. There's no way out of that. So all the stuff I can do for 50 years, 60 years of my life, I can't do it then. Can't do it then. No more. Chapter 14. Verse 23, and thou shalt eat before the Lord thy God in the place which he shall choose to place his name there, the tithe, the corn, the wine, and thine oil, and the first things of the herd, and of thy flocks, and the reason you're going to do, that thou mayest learn to fear the Lord thy God always. You're going to fear God. So we have to learn, God, to fear you, a healthy respect for you, who you are, and what you do. God, we need to have that. Now, keeping that in mind, over to Malachi. How did Israel do? Well, history says and tells us, all you got to do now is look at the world, Israel or any of it, God help us all. Malachi and chapter 1. Remember, there is no fear of God before their eyes, he will say. So now, here in Malachi chapter 1, picking up, please, in verse 6, a son honoreth his father, and the servant his master. If then I be a father, where is mine honor? If I be a master, where is my fear? Saith the Lord of hosts, unto you, O priest, that despise my name, and you say, wherein have we despised thy name, etc. God, we need to have fear, a healthy, holy, changing, a wonderful, awesome, being awed about God, a wonderful reverence for God. That goes two ways. Same word, two ways. We have a healthy, awesome respect for God. He is who he is, and we come in his direction to honor him as God. That's positive. The same word. We have a fear of God, and instead of letting the fear draw us and bring us in front of God with a healthy, holy, happy way, the fear of God drives us away. And we get into idols and everything else out here, and we get all caught up out here because the fear that should be positive, we've turned it and made it negative. And we get in because we don't fear God. We don't fear him. That's what we're saying. But we do fear him. That's why we're doing it. Why do we do what we do? Because we're fear. God, you're God. And we've got to do something religiously, evolution, something to handle who you are and what you do. So now, in chapter 3, Malachi, and in the light of Israel's, you know, without doing that, I just read you the end for the sake, and that, the end of chapter 3, verse 5, the end, and that turn aside the stranger from the his right, to fear not me, saith the Lord of hosts. For I, the Lord, verse 6, I change not, therefore, ye sons of Jacob, you are not consumed. They tell people you don't have to fear God. You don't, God is no problem. God is never a problem. Never a problem. Wow. You don't have to worry about God. No, don't worry about God. Wow. God, what did you tell us? You're the shepherd. We've been doing that study in the Sunday school morning worship. We'll go back to it quickly here. You're the shepherd of the sheep. I am. I want you to know my sheep shall not want, worry, or wander. And by the way, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, not a tough journey, you're living in time with all the darkness and all the difficulties and all the dangers, they're all there. And God, you put it in our lap. We need to trust you by faith. There's no other way. You're either going to let me be who I am or you're not. You're going to recognize me for who I am or you're not. And by the way, when you do that and honor me, then you will discover, like in chapter 3, Malachi 6, you are not consumed. I'm the faithful, trustworthy God all the way to the end. And 23, we're back in the shepherd again, verse 4. I will fear no evil. Why can we walk? Why can we go and journey? Why do we get out of bed? Why do we go to work? Why do we go to school? Why do we handle our aches and pains and coming and going? How do we do it, God? We have to recognize your hand by faith. Recognize your ability, the whole thing, the lot is cast into the lap, the whole disposing, Proverbs 16, the whole disposing is up to you, God. So God, here we have it. You give us the football. What are we going to do with it? What are we going to do with the football, God? Are we in the game? Are we in the stands? Are we even in the city where the game is being played? That's the question. Are you on the field? They got the ball. Now you got to pay attention. Come on. You're real. Oh, no, but I'm in the bleachers. I'm a spectator. I can sort of let it all, you know, come and go and have some more popcorn. Or maybe you aren't even in the game. You aren't even in the stands. You're down there in some other place. Wow. You've got to be in the game. So God, here we are playing. And God, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. I'm on the journey. I'm in the way. I'm on it. So God, I want to learn. I want to have faith. Without it, impossible to please you. And I ought to understand the awesomeness, the awful awesomeness of who you are, God. I want to respect you, God. You're awesome. We've been doing it in Sunday school at 6 o'clock time of late. God, you're omniscient. You're all-knowing. You're all-present. You're merciful, gracious, righteous, holy. Wow. Immutable. Wow. God. Wow. That's right. God said, I am. I'm more than that even. I'm more than that. But, I want you to know that the awesomeness affects your character and conduct. And if you fear me properly, positively, coming in my direction, not negative, away from me, come in my direction, and you will honor me. And when you honor me, you will find that I am there, and it's going to change your character and conduct in a most wonderful way. And you're going to discover that I am wonderfully happy, awesomely holy, and forever heavenly. And you're going to enjoy who I am. Wow. Thank you. Our Father and God, we look to you and deal with our heads and our hearts, our homes, our health. God, you are who you are. And God, we tend to just sort of get lax and lazy and sort of drift here and there and come and go, and we lose the wonderment that is of prime. The most important thing in forever is our relationship to you. And the most wonderful power and giving us and making us have the be on the cutting edge of things is that we appreciate and have faith that you are who you are, and we have a healthy fear and reverence because of who you are. God, thank you very much. Thank you very much. In Christ's name, amen. Thank you for that. And perhaps we can sing, please, as we close.